Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there's more
people.
What
are you talking about?
Chaska, there's more people that look like me dressed up like this in San Francisco than look like you right there. I'm just going to keep it a buck.
What?
There's more people dressed like I am working in downtown San Francisco than dressed like that. Come on.
Liar!
Come on. Are we arguing over our costumes right now? Can we just have fun? Are we allowed to have fun?
I mean, I just feel like I was born in a wrong era. All these Harry Potter references are just so over my head.
Because you weren't into it. That's okay. You missed that spot. You were like in high school. You like Star Wars and you're dressed like a Sesame
Street. Star Wars is
not
dorky.
You're the biggest dork I know. It's not even close.
Not even.
Steph, what's up with these young players?
It's huge. Like, it's, you got me, Draymond, Jimmy, you know, trying to be the anchors, but when you have JK playing the way he has to start the year, me, BP starting to, you know, figure out his spots and his confidence and keeping, you know, things simple. Now that you got Mo back, you got another guy that can space the floor, knock down shots. Ooh. Will coming in, change the game defensively for us, cutting off the ball. Like, everybody has value, and we need everybody to contribute on a night-to-night basis. And if it's not your night, stat-wise, like, whether you play 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, come with the right energy, because we feed off of it.
Okay, 888-957-9570. We'll make this a theme of the show. Does Joe Shasky not knowing who Harry Potter or Ron Weasley are, is that a red flag? 888-957-9570.
You can call boy Rocco, you work with dorks. Like, thanks, Rock.
You work with dorks.
Great. Well, we've never seen Harry Potter.
That's fine. You're into Star Wars.
Star Wars is one of the most watched movies of all time.
So is Harry Potter. It's not. Dude, you're comparing the dorkness levels of Star Wars where they use lightsabers.
Yeah.
In a galaxy far, far away.
There's only one book that's sold more than Harry Potter, and it's the Bible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going deep into the Bible these days. I'm dead serious.
Are you?
YouTube, yeah.
Okay, what's the book?
Wait, on YouTube? I don't think it counts if it's on YouTube.
No.
You have to read it, not watch it.
No, there's this guy, Wes something or other, who I follow on YouTube, and he like breaks down like some of the historical accuracies and then some of the metaphors and things like that. It's actually really good. I was actually talking with the father about this, actually. It's, I'm going to go deep. Yeah.
JC or like a priest?
No, a real priest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. It's okay. It's a generational gap thing. It is. Now, all of us were raised on Sesame Street, so that's a reference that even people that were from the 70s will know, just like when Star Wars released.
Yeah.
But you were in high school, I believe, when the first Harry Potter probably came out into theaters. Was it 98, 99? Or maybe it was like 01.
01.
Okay. So, yeah. When did you graduate high school?
01.
Okay, perfect.
Well, technically 2024, but...
When were you in your senior year in high school? It was 2001. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're all learning things. I'm learning that this Golden State Warriors team, I'm excited. I'm having a good time watching them, Joe. I haven't had this much fun watching a Warriors team, like, in the regular season. And I'm taking away the second half of last year. Yeah. I don't know. Like, since the championship year? Like that feels just sustainable.
Last year was pretty fun down the stretch.
No. I'm saying I'm taking that part away.
Okay.
Because the first part of last year, did it feel sustainable at all? Did it feel
it
like,
was all over the place?
Okay, exactly. This feels sustainable, does it not?
Yes, this feels different.
Why?
Well, because we saw like 30 games essentially or more. How many was it total with Butler?
It was when the trade deadline happened.
Well, I know, but plus the playoffs. Yeah. So what was it, like 40 games?
Something like that. Yeah, right? I'll get to it. Yeah.
This feels a little more sustainable. And the thing for me is you're seeing growth across the board, right? Like, so as I'm kind of all over the place with Quinton Post. I don't know what to make of him right now. TJD, I don't know what to make of him right now. But, like, Moses Moody, this is, like, after the first game of coming back against the Blazers, like, he looked so much more comfortable in this one. Obviously, when you hit every shot, you're going to look rhythmic. But he fits the floor and the spacing really well. And he played alongside Kuminga, and he looked good. Kuminga has just been a revelation. Pod's having a great game. God, that was exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, 42 ball, games. For
so 42,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, including the playoffs.
You know, ball movement and his ability to push tempo, finish in the lane, making good passes, coming to a jump stop. I haven't felt this good about the three young players since, like, their rookie year.
It's true.
Now, it's one game, though. Like, it's one game with them all playing well simultaneously.
And it's the
Grizzlies. But I would say this. I saw Pods and Moody play well for a month with these other guys. So I do think there's more there with those young guys. The part about Kuminga, I just think he's coming into his own right now. I think you either get on or get off the Kuminga bus right now. And I'm on it. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm going to put my money, I am putting my money on, he might be a top three finisher as most improved player in the league.
Joe, when's the last time you can have, like, a Steph Curry score 16 points and feel good about everyone else? And that you're going to win the game even if Steph scores 16 points. That doesn't happen. Unless it was like last season when it's like Buddy Hield has to have the game of his life. If Steph slumped prior to the trade deadline at any point, you're probably going to lose the game.
Unless,
that's how it felt.
Yeah, unless you're playing Chauncey Billups' Blazers.
Unless Chauncey takes out everyone and puts in himself as starting point guard with Tiago Splitter. But hey, it's another win for the Blazers last night over against the Lakers, who are also
I'm telling you, dude,
anymore.
The best thing they did was get rid of Chauncey.
Tiago Splitter, man, coach of the year? Can you win it if you're like the interim, technically? I don't think you can.
It's crazy that Tiago Splitter is already a coach.
It's working. Well,
He's a guy I wanted the Warriors to get.
Really? Oh, when he was a player?
Yeah.
Back in the Spurs days?
I like him.
Tiago Splitter, as I go Stephen A. Smith. Here's more from Stephen Curry.
Yeah, I'm taking umbrage. I'm looking at this YouTube poll. I've heard of Harry Potter. I don't know who the friend is.
No, but you don't know who Harry Potter like looks like either, really. Do you?
Kind of like you?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm taller than him, though. The actor, Daniel Radcliffe's like 5'5", and my nose is much better
The amount of people I'm getting texts from, like, if you're over the age of 8 and you're wearing a Harry Potter costume.
Do you know when those books came out? When I was literally like 8, or like even like younger than that. It's Halloween! Who's gatekeeping costumes on Halloween? This is so weird. This is very strange to me.
It's kind of being a grouch today, you know?
It is. It's very grouch behavior.
I live in a trash can.
But you know what? These people are getting off early, or they're having graveyard shifts, and I understand.
Where would you rather live? On 6th and Market or a trash can?
Hogwarts, probably.
They don't have trash cans on 6th and Market?
I mean, have you been down there, Dylan?
Do they still have old-fashioned trash cans like that, where it's like the metal bin? Where it's like I go to the in WWE, when they pick up the trash cans
not like
and
that.
Hit people.
They're all
bring those
like,
back.
They're like bolted to the ground. Yeah, exactly that.
It's like iron rods and stuff protecting it. Here's more from Stephen Curry, the chef on fifth
God,
players.
He looks great.
So does the depth of the
high
team.
Pick and roll with Kuminga was just...
It's just our offense is kind of designed, you know, over the course of 82, you know, how certain teams defend, and if we're able to move the ball, take care of it. We had a little rough patch in the first half, but for the most part, especially in that third quarter, when we take care of the ball, we create good shots. Everybody's capable of finishing plays. Knowing how I can be an off-ball threat, create Ooh. Some chaos. Got to the line, guys knocked him down. Mo came in, huge energy for us. So that's how you get through a regular season, you know, just the unpredictability, but the confidence that, you know, everybody can step up.
I love what he had to say there. Thank you, Guimbonte. That's how you get through a regular season. That is how you remain or play to be a top six team in the Western Conference and be a playoff, not a play-in team, is the recipe last night. Can I get contributions from the young guys, maybe a vet or two? It doesn't have to be both Jimmy and Steph all the time. Yesterday it was Jimmy. It's been Steph in the last couple games at times. Pick and choose the vets, and then could two of the young guys step up? And it might not always be J.K. Pods or Moody. Buddy Hield is going to have a game there. You know, can we get, you know, I don't know what to make Will Richard in the minutes and allocation. Like, Will Richard 4 points yesterday. You know, Pat Spencer came in for a minute. It was cool to have a moment with his brother Cam Spencer on the other side. I thought that was
thought that was awesome.
That was really cool,
right? And
he
backed him down and tried to hit the bucket at the end.
It was pretty cool, yeah. And Tim, we came in with the final call there.
I like Cam Spencer.
I do, too. I love the white shirt underneath the jersey. I'm always a sucker for that one. Zero definition. I'm going to hide the arms, ladies and gentlemen. Can't show those off.
It used to be banned to wear a T-shirt under. Now they all have the... like, whatever they call it, the dry fit, the Under Armour. I call it Under Armour, but I know it's like a technical name of like dry fit.
Well, it used to be called
compression, I think.
Well, because that's what the Under Armour was back then, before they became like a major brand.
It was just compression.
It was just the compression things, yeah.
Anyway, point being is though, like, it used to be banned. You couldn't wear a T-shirt in the NBA.
So that's the recipe for me. And when I look at, you know, not having to rely all the time on, can Gary Payton II or can Guy Santos or any of these other guys do anything offensively? It's actually enjoyable to watch the Golden State Warriors again and not have to nail-bite every single game. No, seriously.
I'm with
you. Because it felt like last year it was so taxing and mentally draining to watch the team. It was fun, don't get me wrong. Like, if you're a fan, you loved what they were able to do, even though they eventually still became a play-in team, and that was the matchup against the Grizzlies last year. And the Grizzlies are still the Grizzlies. They're not a threat in the West, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not buying
the Grizzlies.
Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., that's not a tandem that I am scared of.
Yeah, the
all.
Arrogant Jaguars? No, I'm not scared
the
of them.
Arrogant
either.
Jaguars.
What?
Well, in fairness, we want to go there. I mean, who's my guy? Liam Cohen was going at Robert Saul after the game. I didn't see
but the Jags fans don't think they're good.
Going at Cart Kerr. No?
No. No. When I was watching this game, there was a play with Draymond that I knew they were going to blow out of proportion. It's when he put his left hand on Aldama's, you know, shoulder and then made a play on the ball. And Aldama looked like someone, you know, shot him from the grassy knoll.
Oh
no, it was ridiculous. Aldama, get off the ground, off the ground.
You
and they reviewed it forever.
Yeah.
It was absurd.
You know,
and they're losing the coach losing his mind. Like, I'm so over the over adjudication of anything Draymond Green does. Like, I understand he's got a rap sheet. Get off the ground, dude. You're fine.
You know where Aldama's from? Spain.
Okay.
You know what Spaniards do when they play professional sports?
What do they do?
They flop. They're the goat floppers. World Cup's coming here to Levi's Stadium next year.
I wouldn't know. I'll take your word on this.
I'm letting you know. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like the European clubs, specifically Italy and Spain, the biggest floppers in the history of the world when it comes to professional sports.
It shouldn't
not
take
close.
3.5 minutes to review these plays. Like, it's ridiculous. The amount of reviews going over and over. He did not make a violent act at the neck. He was trying to hold him up. Like, and I get it. Believe me, I'm 100% here. Draymond does not get benefit of the doubt regarding going at
none.
The head area and all this. Like, these reviews take way too long. I'm tired of the flopping and the crying on the ground and the coach coming out trying to make some. What are you going to do? Like, what's he going to do? Is the coach really going to fight Draymond? Stay over there. Shut up. Stop it.
You know what never gets old? Brian Baldinger. Coming up next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. Dude, good vibes right now.
You know, this song makes me think of great customer service.
No,
and this is where I'm going to go with this. Yesterday, I was playing in the Reardon Alumni Golf Tournament. And
I want to pick up that drop.
I know. It was great. It was at Harding Park. We had a great time. I was bombing drives. I got this driver, I don't know, 7 or 8 months ago. Walked into Golf Mart up in, shout out Golf Mart, up in Santa Rosa. I was up at the cabin. I was sick and tired of duck hooking all these drives. And they got me fitted in like 2 seconds. Bang, 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 boom. I was like, wow, this is the best driver I've ever hit. And I was bombing drives yesterday. And I looked down at my driver. I go, that didn't sound right, even though it went right down the middle, crushed.
Oh, no.
I cracked the carbon face on the top of it, of the Callaway head. AI smoke. Love this driver. So I called Callaway right away. Customer service. No. They're sending me out a brand new driver. It's just not the AI smoke. It's the Elite. And I got to say, great customer service. Thank you very much. And they vouched. I gave them like the serial number off the driver, and they vouched that I bought it from, you know, Golf Mart. When you buy from a real vendor, you get full warranty, I guess, a couple of years or whatever. So that's great customer service. And when I was thinking of that song, I was thinking about the waiting on the line customer service phone.
I always think of, I think, Goodfellas or Casino or whatever. I feel like Martin Scorsese has that song in every single one of his movies.
Now, seriously, that is a good call.
I think it is in Goodfellas for sure. By the way, the Warriors Summit next Thursday, November 6th, be there or be square, live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. Shasky might be wearing the Oscar the Grouch outfit again. We'll see. I might be Harry Potter. Who knows?
Hot in here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nelly, a little bit.
It is.
I'm
sweating.
Together again, discussing another Warriors season. We're going to be doing it a little bit different this time around because the Warriors will be 9 games into the season at that point. Will and Dibs from 2 to 4. All the hosts from 4 to 6, again, live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. We'll have great prizes to give away, drink specials, and your chance to meet all the hosts on the same day. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill, Thursday, November 6th. We'll see you there. Brian Baldinger, 10 minutes, talk some 49ers as Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media yesterday, Joe. Did you listen to any of that media conference call, or did you see any of those excerpts from the head coach?
Yeah, let's play some of it because it got me sad.
All right, here's updates from the injuries coming out of the Texans game.
All right, guys, injuries from yesterday. Sam O with an ankle, he'll be day-to-day. Jordan Elliott, ankle, day-to-day. D. Winters, knee, day-to-day. Alfred Collins, shoulder, day-to-day. And Mac Jones, knee contusion, day-to-day.
The San Francisco day-to-days, no longer in the 49ers. This is the day-to-days. That's literally the theme of the season.
It's just...
As we're talking about the good vibes of the Warriors season thus far, it does feel like the good vibes are... And it was a bad loss. They are 5-3. I don't want to make it sound like
it's
doom and
gloom. No, I don't think the season's over.
But it was definitely a humbling loss. Can we say that? It was definitely a humbling loss.
Yeah, look, now that I'm removed from it a couple of days, like, there's a lot to play for. I still think they can make the playoffs. It's going to be really difficult. But I do believe a couple things. Number one, they have got to figure out their offense, and they've got to get guys back. Bad. Ricky Pearsall has got to get back on the field. It's not about salvaging the first-round pick or anything like that. It's just he needs to get back on the field because they are desperate to get some playmakers on the outside. They need somebody who can win one-on-one.
They need bodies, man.
This feels like a lost season, not just for Purdy, but for George Kittle as well. And I don't know what you're going to get from him moving forward. So I need to get Kendrick Bourne and I need to get Ricky Pearsall on the field simultaneously to free up the middle of the field. Cause I don't know if you're going to be able to run past anyone with George Kittle this year. Like that was a hallmark of his game. You could just run past people at times. I think he's playing in a box the rest of the year with the hamstring injury.
This is what Kyle Shanahan, you talked about Ricky Pearsall. He was asked about Ricky Pearsall's availability going forward at his weekly media conference call.
I hope so. You know, I'm sure he's doing better this week than last week, but still haven't been told that he'll for sure be back. We'll have to evaluate that when we get to Wednesday.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't sound good.
How many has he played this year? He's played three? I think three full games?
I believe so,
Four games but three full, I think?
Let's see. Ricky Pearsall, his game log, and he was starting off on fire. He was one of their best wide receivers.
No, he's shown a lot of promise when he's been out there.
That's the problem. When he's out there, and it's 4 games in total for him. Seattle, New Orleans, Arizona, Jacksonville.
And he left Jacksonville pretty early.
Correct.
Which changed that game for Brock.
29 targets on the season, 20 receptions, 327 yards, 0 touchdowns. But again, he was their best wide receiver.
No doubt.
Bar none when he is out there. And this was the conversation you guys had, you and Bonte, who's going to be joining us in about 37 minutes in studio with Herm Edwards, who used to coach Ricky at Arizona State when he was the football coach there. You got to protect Ricky from Ricky. and he had injury problems going back to college, soft tissue, the hamstrings. Obviously, it's separate from the tragedy last year where he got shot, but I have question marks now about his durability, which sucks. He's not the biggest guy on the field. He's listed at 6'1", buck 89, so it's not like he's 6'3", 6'4". None of that matters because big guys can get hurt too, as we've seen in the NBA and the NFL. It doesn't matter your size. NFL is a hard game. It's a physical game. You're going to get hurt. But it does feel like when you are a slight frame and you don't have as much meat on the bones, if you will, the muscle, maybe you're more successful to it. I don't know. But four games, man, he's just got to get out there because...
Yeah, but if he's not right, I don't think he can play. Because clearly he's a guy that some guys can play through pain and can get away with it. Other guys, like he I don't know if he can do that. Is he more Porsche than he is Mack truck? Meaning the Mack truck could have some dings and some scratches, and it'll still be able to accomplish its mission. The Porsche is in the shop every week.
Yeah.
He might be more closer to the Porsche.
The German engineering. When that check engine light comes on, whether it's, I don't want to throw out any sponsors. But German cars, sometimes that happens, and it's just like, you know what? Sometimes you need a good Ceramani Ford. Am I right, Joe? There you go. Come on, that was
well. Neat. I mean, like, look, in the Ceramani Ford, family of vehicles, the Mustang Mach-E is not as necessarily as rugged as the F-150.
No, sometimes you just need that F-150. Cap. That's what George Kittle is right now with the 49ers. All right, he's not going to be glamorous, maybe, but he's going to get you there.
The bigger issue for this team right now is that
maybe that's Luke Farrell.
They've hit a wall with these injuries, and you're asking a lot of guys who aren't ready to step up and contribute past what they were expected to, or maybe even just past what their abilities are right now.
Well, and another guy that you would like to get back at some point this season, just so he can get some reps even, I don't even know what he's going to be able to contribute, Brandon Ayuk. Kyle Shanahan was asked about his timeline yesterday.
I think it's week to week from here on out that he's got a chance. It would have surprised me if it was this week, but that was just me saying that. Every week I think he's getting closer to having a chance, just not this week.
And I think week to week is having a chance to open his practice.
It's November 1st on Friday.
Which is the year to the date?
Well, no. I think he got hurt in middle of October, like the 20th.
So around this time.
So it would be about a year out. But I guess what I was saying is this is about week 10, which is kind of like we were saying, hey, I bet his practice window opens up. Week 10.
And another guy again. It was literally yesterday was all the status of players injury-wise. It's like nothing from the game, it felt like. This is Shanahan on Juwan Jennings' health.
Yeah, October 7th. Juwan's been banged up all year. I think he's better now than he was 2 weeks ago, but by no means is he 100%. He's still dealing with an ankle. Those ribs linger for a while. His shoulder also, but probably more the ankle than anything. But he's getting better each week. I don't think he had a setback yesterday, none that I've heard. But he's been battling every week to get out there.
So we've already established George Kittle doesn't look right. He had a full torn hamstring, but it's Kittle. He's going to battle it out.
But he just doesn't look right.
He doesn't look right. Again.
And it sucks.
It sucks. And I'm scared to death about this game on Sunday. I just am. It's been a house of horrors for every single NFL team on that field, Joe. Every single team, it feels like, comes away with a devastating injury on that MetLife turf.
Their D-line is
so scared. Yeah, the D-line, it's not even the players that scare me. It's like, who are you going to leave with?
Well, and then Jackson Dart really can move. He's got some great athleticism, and he really competes out there. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves on the New York Giants.
We'll ask Baldy in a couple minutes.
But Joe, right now, Kendrick Bourne, I left that game on Sunday thinking he didn't get enough balls thrown his way. Now, is that teams now being able to take him away in the passing game? Is that them not making him a primary focal point of the offense? Were they just in such long down and distance throughout that game they could never get him the ball? I don't think they're able to even do a 5 and 7 step drop right now because of the pressure that other teams are applying on their offense.
Well, and also just the lack of speed at the positions right now. Like these guys just aren't quick, right? The lack of juice, and I'm not talking about Kyle Juszczyk, but the lack of juice on this offense is rearing its ugly head right now. When you don't have Ricky Pearsall, elite route runner, and I understand Juwan Jennings is built to be that guy, he's clearly playing compromised. I mean, the guy said he had 5 broken ribs a couple weeks ago. Right, he's clearly been banged up all year, as you just heard from the head coach, Kyle Shanahan.
Deep bombs to to
Watkins.
Sky Moore.
Sky Moore. Like a rookie that's making his first ever start in the NFL. Sky Moore, who can't catch a cold in the middle of December.
Man, they're just not playing complimentary football. This was the worst half of complimentary football they played all year. The defense was just on the field forever. And you look up, it could have been 21 or 28 nothing. You look up and you're like, wow, this is still a game. How is this still a game? You know, and I give them credit for not breaking completely. But they couldn't sustain drives. Again, that first drive that I had referenced yesterday, I mean, there were four penalties on the first drive.
Four.
For the Niners offense.
And pre-snap.
You can't get going like that.
Personal fouls, just ones that are absolute killers. When you have your quarterback who could barely run as it is, scamper for a first down, and that gets called back, that's a killer, man.
My buddy Kevin Schneider went to the game, and I was golfing with him yesterday, and I go, how was the game? And he's like, dude, that penalty on Juwan Jennings sucked the life out of the room because they move the sticks, they're in position. Like, he was talking about from a fan perspective in the stadium. And I was like, really? You felt like that? He's like, yeah, you could feel the air come out of the stadium on that face mask. And then, I mean, it's one play, but those are big plays. I mean, it was a great scramble by Mac.
And you felt the tone being set early from Houston, too, where it felt like, oh, God, if we get behind early, we're not going to have a chance. But unfortunately, that's kind of been a theme throughout the tenure of Kyle Shanahan, Joe. You kind of mentioned it yesterday in passing. It's like, dude, when this team just gets down double digits, it's very difficult within this offense to come back. Like how do we keep talking about that and nothing is done about it, I guess is why I'm asking. And I understand right now, yeah, George Kittle, who's dealing with the hammy. You got Christian McCaffrey, he's been like your best player, but all the touches he has. Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne, Jordan Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson. I get it, but no one's going to feel sorry for you in that regard. So I keep coming back to this. Why wasn't the game plan similar to that of a couple weeks ago at SoFi Stadium? Quick passing, passing, passing. Get in a rhythm. Get going. Don't allow that team to, you know, substitute. Houston Texans just feeling like they were comfortable defensively that entire game. They did not respect that 49ers offense. I think that's what it felt like.
I think they didn't have the ball a lot in the first. I mean, it was like 28 minutes or whatever. They had the ball for like 3 minutes, the first 28 of the first half. And so it's easy to say, well, why aren't you the short control passing? Well, because then if there's an incompletion, my defense is right back out onto the field.
Fair enough.
Right? So they just couldn't get a rhythm going. I think it's easy to dissect the play calling. When you watch the feel of the game, and I've seen it now three times, I'm like, that defense was on the field for so long. The offense went out there, and they just couldn't muster and sustain drives.
No, and I referenced this earlier. I'll play it again. The big talking point discussion, obviously, when is Brock Purdy going to come back? Could it be this week, Kyle Shanahan?
I hope so. You know, I bet he's. Wrong I mean, one. I'm sure he's doing better this week.
Sorry,
than last
that
week,
was about Ricky Pearsall. Flag on the play. That's me.
Let's go
to Shark Week. Before I teased it, let me play it for Baldy and for everyone. Then we'll hit the sounder.
I think it's too early to say. I don't think it's a long shot, but I know he's doing better, and we'll see how he's doing Wednesday. Hopefully, if he's doing good, he'll get in some reps.
Boom.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, it's like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Let's freaking go. Every Tuesday at this time, Baldy, presented by a proud partner, Golden State Lumber and Showroom, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com, and he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Shasky has a smile on his face. Baldy, good morning. It's our Halloween here today at Odyssey, so we're dressed up. Harry Potter for me, Oscar the Grouch for Shasky, and he feels like most Niner fans feel.
And Giants today. Fans.
And Giants. They're feeling a little grouchy
today. Because the Dodgers won on a walk-off.
Yeah. Did you watch that game, Baldy? 18 innings. Oh, I think he's still watching it, maybe. Or maybe you put him to sleep. That's what it was for me. No? We'll left for Baldy. It's okay. I like how you put the hood back on when Baldy came.
I'm sweating.
You are sweating profusely.
I might pass out. No, we gotta get you
some water, bro. Oof. We can't be having like what Target that one time. You told the story.
Yeah, that was after Philadelphia. I had COVID and I passed out and I woke up. I had no shirt on. They were doing like an EKG thing to my chest.
Woke up with no shirt on. Oh my God.
They had shaved my chest.
Really?
Yeah, I had a lot of hair on my chest, okay, and they shaved my chest, and it was not good.
They call that the taco meat, I guess, the hair on the chest
these
days.
That's what Bonte calls it.
That's then people be talking. We'll be joined by Baldy here momentarily. By the way, Bonte in about 27 minutes. Bonte every single Tuesday, 8 to 10 in studio. We'll talk about the 49ers. We'll talk about the Golden State Warriors, all of it. I referenced that sound earlier with Kyle Shanahan, Joe, in regards to Brock Purdy. We got him? Thumbs up?
Yeah, oh,
we got you? Okay,
yeah.
Sweet. Ball.
Sorry, yeah, I'm sorry about that,
no,
Joe.
No, you're good. You're good. Did you watch that Dodgers game last night? That's what we started with. 18 innings long. What was it, 6.5 hours? Oh, my God.
I felt like I left here the office, and it was on, and I came back in here early in the morning, and it felt like it was still on. Like, I just left the channel on, and I felt like, you know, like they were still going around the order here one more time. But no, I didn't stay up for 18 innings last night.
No, no, nor did we, as we get up at 3:30 West Coast time. Baldy, we're just talking about this loss right now. There's a lot of, you know, Niner fans that, you know, felt like that was a humbling loss against the Houston Texans, a team that looked awful on Monday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks, and then you got the Niners coming off that huge Sunday Night Football win. It felt like the optimism and pessimism for these teams should have been different, right? But it ended up being the Houston Texans coming in with more swagger at home and just laying the wood on that 49ers offense early on.
I mean, look, this is why it's a week-to-week league, because San Francisco couldn't have played harder than they did the week before in their win. And Houston hadn't played like that all year. Like, they're like, I mean, I'm not to get carried away with, you know, spiritual stuff, but, like, they just vibrated differently. Like, they attacked everything. The way that Aziz came downhill and like, the way that they attacked the 49ers in the run game, like, it was just vicious, absolutely vicious. And then I'm watching the linebackers of the 49ers just catch blocks. And I'm going, like, it was just two teams that played the game at a completely different level. And then I thought, Kyle just did some weird things, man. Like, just protection-wise, like, you got Will Anderson out there that is as good as anybody off the edge. And I'm watching Matt Hennessy pull from the center position to go block Will Anderson. I'm going, who would do that? Maybe on a Thursday afternoon morning walkthrough, you might pull your center. And, like, nobody does that. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, and then I'm watching Juwan Jennings try to block Danielle Hunter on the outside on a bootleg, and I'm going, wait a second. If you put Trent Williams out there, he couldn't block him in space for as long as you needed to get that. There's just some things that didn't jive, because we've seen these mistakes before in big games. And that whole defense is built around Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. Like, you better have a plan. And I felt bad for McKivitz out there. Like, you can't hear in that building. They've got the thing jacked up. That Will Anderson is just, like, looking like the hungriest shark. And, like, he was beaten off the snap, like, three or four times. There's nobody helping. Like, it's just, I didn't think it was a good game all the way around.
No, I appreciate you bringing this up. Like, I think Kyle does some brilliant things. But there is something to this, you know, blocking elite edge rushers with guys that, you know, aren't elite tackles or, you know, aren't normal offensive linemen. You referenced Juwan Jennings having to block Hunter. I brought that up yesterday. It drove me crazy. Seeing Matt get plastered on that play where the center that you referenced, you know, goes sliding over. I mean, he got hit hard on that play. That's just a tough ask for any center to make that move. But I'm not a football expert, so explain to me as a football purist, as someone who watches the film and all this, like, is this his scheme? Is this just an individual isolated play? Like, they do run the ball well, but what is it about this the way that they scheme things up front where it leaves these vulnerabilities that seem to really get their quarterback in compromised positions?
Mac Jones is one tough guy, man. Oh, man. Man, he took some shots. I don't know. I don't know, because I know Kyle is detailed. Like, you know, success lies in his details. I understand it, but, like, we used to pull the center to go block outside linebackers unless we were playing the Giants and it was LT. Then we never did it, you know. Like, you know, you could get an extra guy out in protection. The back could get out and you could handle, you know, you're uncovered. You block the outside guy. They slide inside and you get sound. But, you know, we would never do that against LT. Like, as soon as you're thinking, okay, Will Anderson is out there or Danielle Hunter is out there, like, there's a reason why they're a top five defense. Like, it starts with not just their ability to rush the passer, but just the way that both of them play the game. You know, they just play the game the way you're supposed to. And there's not many of those guys in the league. Like, they happen to have two of them. But, you know, Will Anderson looks like he wants to go into the octagon and end the fight, like, in 2 seconds. Like, he wants to come sprinting out of the corner and knock the guy out. That's how he plays every play. And, you know, I just think when you got those guys, when you're talking about your game plan, Joe, like, it's got to start with securing the edges first, no matter what you want to do. And so I just felt like that what they were. And then I'm just wondering about the whole staff when they're drawing these plays up, and we're going to do this, and we're going to walk, you know. And if you're on a walkthrough, you're like, all right, it might look okay. Like, I call them chalkboard protections. It looks good in the chalkboard. It allows us to do this. We can get this matchup. And I'm thinking, man, think about the guy that's got to go do that right now.
So, you know, Baldy, one thing, and I'm not trying to pick on Kyle. I think Kyle does a really good job, but there are some, you know, strengths and weaknesses for every coach, no matter who mm-hmm. or how great or how weak they are. When they're down double digits, there's this stat that always comes flying across the screen. Hey, you know, a Kyle Shanahan-led team down double digits in the fourth quarter or down double digits in the second half has a very, very, very bad record. And one thing that was like, wow, it was really eye-opening, they're not hustling to the line. They're getting to the line. They're running all these motions back and forth. And it's like, can we ditch that and just, like, run a little up-tempo here? I do think there's something to how they play football being part of the reason why they have a difficult time playing catch-up late in games.
It's a good observation, Joe. You should be able to just line up and play.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You should be able to just line up in a 2x2 set without having a motion to it. You should be able to just line up and save 6 seconds when time is of the essence and just run the play. You can run it with the motion. You can run every single play without it, too. And you can just line up in it. And there is something to be said in two-minute drills and even – 4 minute drills, or even, you know, if you're down two scores, like they were, where you're not like, okay, you got to get one before you get two, but you still need time to get two. So time is the enemy. You know, the clock is the enemy there. And I just think the quicker you start making that decision that the clock's the enemy, the quicker you have a chance, or the better that you have a chance of making that comeback win from being down two scores.
Talking with Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast Best Football Show podcast, Odyssey NFL Insider, every single Tuesday at this time. No better person to talk 49ers football with than Brian Baldinger. And on the other side of the field, Baldy, it looked like that was the most confident I've seen CJ Stroud all season. He just looked quick. He looked decisive. I know he had the pick before the end of the half to D'Amino Lenore, by the way, the Niners' first interception in, what was it, 15 games,
yeah,
straight games?
It's
ridiculous. But 30 of 39, 318 yards, two touchdowns. What did you see from the 49ers defensively, or I guess, what didn't you see, Baldy?
Well, I'm out without Nico Collins, who's been his favorite target since he came into this league. And so, you know, without Nico in there, I mean, you know, they basically played Iowa State's, you know, wide receiving core of Noel and Hutchinson. But I, like anybody that just wants to write C.J. Stroud off as, you know, he's a declining player. Like, first of all, he had protection for the first time all year. That's not a good offensive line. And that's really the first thing you notice is there was no pass rush, none. They blitzed to get it. But you do that to – you're doing that at your peril with against C.J. Stroud because that guy sees the field very, very well. And he's a very good student of the game. And so he knew exactly where to go with the ball as soon as the overloads came. And they couldn't heat him up. And you know when he's heating up, like he's not going to stay there and just take a hit. He's elusive. But, you know, the touchdown throw to Hutchinson, you know, he saw Taylor Bethune just open up to the three receiver side. And, like, as soon as he saw the linebacker open up like that, he came – to Hutchinson for the touchdown. It was a great throw, but the read was easy. Like, I didn't think they disguised things very well at all. But I don't know. I just thought they played flat, like really flat. And, you know, no Bryce Huff. Like, there was zero pass rush. Nobody was winning. And that Arianti Ursary was struggling at left tackle. They were struggling at the right tackle spot with Titus Howard. Like, you didn't see those guys struggle at all. The whole day, like, did even hit? I think they got one quarterback hit the entire day.
Yeah, I mean, you were referencing some of their blitzes. They brought Mustafa a couple times. They tried to bring Upton Stout, and he almost like gave it away on third down. He's like talking to Tig Brown, and Tig doesn't step up to guard the guy. And CJ knows he's blitzing, and just throws right to the hot route. What's going on with these safeties? They played Siegel and Pinnock for the first five games, and they didn't look great. And then I'm watching Tig Brown and Mustafa, and they don't look great. Is the safety play as bad as my eyes are telling me?
Well, there's a reason why they made a change. You know, I mean, they're not going to – if Pinnock was playing better, then he'd be in there right now. Like, they're not playing guys that they – just because they drafted them. You know, I think Tig was a third-round pick out of Penn State, but they're not playing these guys just because they drafted them. They got to find, you know, guys – and they're not making any plays. You know, Mustafa can hit you and light you up, you know, but they're not making any plays on the back end. They're not getting to the ball. They're not getting in the passing lanes. They're not taking the ball away. Like, your safety has to, when Hufanga was back there, he was taking the ball away. Like, when these guys were there, and they're not doing that right now. They're not in the passing lanes. They're not anticipating where the ball is coming, and they're not good with the ball in the air right now. And so it's an issue, I think.
What about the defensive line? I mean, you referenced no pass rush. It's pretty obvious. They got Mike Hill playing a lot, and he's playing inside. He's playing a little outside. They've got Alfred Collins playing. Are you seeing anything from the two draft picks?
You don't see any suddenness from either one of them. Like, they're big guys. They've got size. And I think Mike Hill's got some power. But you don't see any suddenness. And it's just hard to power your way through any of these offensive linemen in this league. It's just hard. Like, you got to get on the edge. You got to get a short corner. You got to get a takeoff. There's a reason why, you know, Will Anderson at his size can be a dominant player. Like, you're not seeing that aspect to either one of those two players' games. Now, the rookie year is – almost like a redshirt year in some ways. It's just a totally different game than college. But you're not seeing, like, the suddenness you need. Like, even, like, not to bring up, you know, a guy that they should never have lost, but to watch DeForest Buckner play right now, like, he just, now, you know, I mean, he's 10 years in the league, but, like, they haven't had a guy like that. You know, Armstead wasn't like that. Nobody's been like that. But a guy that can just win one-on-ones, but then also – excellent when he's running any kind of stunts because of his power and what he can do.
I feel like Michael, you know, they obviously had Bosa. They brought in Huff. I don't know. Maybe they thought he'd be a work in progress and he would evolve over time. What is he right now? Because, you know, Niner fans, we're losing our minds. 11th pick, we're expecting some impact. And I think that he's doing some nice things, but maybe we have him miscast as an edge guy and he's more of an interior guy. Like, what is he right now
from your eyes?
Well, he doesn't look like he's got the takeoff you need to win on the edge. Like, he almost looks like he would be better inside in a three technique where he can use his size and length and his strength better than he does on the outside right now. That's what it looks like to me. Now, I'm not out there in practice watching, you know, the body, because sometimes you practice all this stuff all week long, you get to a game, you're just not ready to just unleash it yet. You know, but it generally takes these guys a year. You don't see anything from the guys that the Falcons drafted, you know, right now.
Like Jalen Walker.
I mean, it takes a little while. Yeah, well, they had two guys,
yeah.
Pierce and Walker. But you don't see any those guys winning either. So it's just a slow process. He's got a good coach. But I don't see like the first step quickness that you need in order to be a feared pass rusher at this point. It's early. Like, you got to build – like, the big thing is, honestly, for any of these pass rushers, especially if Michael's on the outside, is two things. One, takeoff. Like, just, I mean, work on it every day, takeoff. And then two, get your hands on these guys. And then from there, figure out, because the ball could be gone in 2 seconds, and he could also be holding the ball. So if they're holding it because it's play action or because it's 3rd and 13, like, have a plan to get to the edge and start collapsing the pocket. And I don't really see a plan from these guys yet.
Baldy, you kind of teased it, and I'm just – like, they've made some bad decisions. They've made some great decisions, right? And DeForest Buckner feels like one of the biggest, like, mistakes. No, I mean it. Like, they have poured so many draft picks and so much free agent money and capital into that position to fill. Is that the biggest miss – of this, even bigger than Trey Lance or the Jimmy Garoppolo thing? Like, is that the biggest mistake by this front office?
I think so. Because of the person that he is, number one. I'm going to see him Sunday in Pittsburgh. He'll be out there working for an hour before the game on just pass rush moves. I saw him spin the other day. I saw him swim. He is an elite. He is the classic three technique because he's big. He's long, he's got a great first step, and he's got an array of moves. And he plays hard. And for a guy who's 6'7", he plays with a good pad level. Like, they've never come close to finding a guy like that, that can have all those different skills. And he's still, you know, he's been basically healthy throughout his career. They've never come close to replacing him, but the Indianapolis' defense is built around him.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, Best Football Show podcast, Odyssey NFL Insider. And Baldy, you know, we're almost halfway through the season, right? 5-5-3, all right? You still make the playoffs. What should Niners fans' expectations be moving forward? Should it be just, hey, can we make the playoffs? Like, we're not riding off the division yet. It just feels like with every game, and last week was such a humbling loss, no Bryce Huff again this week. You don't know what you're getting from the defensive line. Obviously, it's the New York Giants. They just lost their guy, Scatabooz. That's a tough loss for them. But what do you think realistic expectations for this team is at the halfway point?
Well, if they make the playoffs, it'd be an unbelievable season. To make the playoffs with a backup quarterback and without Nick and Fred, that would be one of the best years ever. If you can, in this NFC, because, you know, you've got, I mean, Seattle and the Rams obviously beat the Rams, so that's good. But, you know, you got Seattle and the Rams that are going to be – they're going to come down the stretch in pretty good shape because of the way the quarterbacks are playing and because of what they have around the quarterback. And then you look at the NFC North with Green Bay and Detroit. You look at the Eagles. You look at Tampa. Like, somebody's going to be left out. Like, not all those teams I just mentioned can make it. So somebody's going to be left out right now. And it might be a pretty good team that's left out.
Baldy, from what you saw on film, does George Kittle look like he can really run and get downfield and break tackles?
Well, the touchdown catch was amazing. Like, I don't know how I still don't know how he got it. Aziz was right there, and then you know, the safety bullet came right over the top. Like, somehow the ball stuck to his chest. I think he was a little surprised when he came up with the ball that he still had it. Like, it was just stuck there. I think he can go out there and win one-on-ones when teams are, you know, man-to-man against him. Like, the Giants linebackers aren't good. You know, he should have Their secondary is atrocious right now. So, I mean, they played a corner that has no business being in the NFL, and he was a disaster for him. So, I don't know who's healthy he's not, but I think George is, you know, on his – it's hard to say if he's all the way back because you just don't know after a hamstring injury how soon you feel like you could just open up. Like, I'm sure he – without talking to him or know anything, I'm sure he's second guessing if he can really just let it go right now. And you know, he's always been good after the catch. Can he just open up and go? I'm not sure if he knows he can do it.
What do you do with the quarterback situation? I feel like Max really won me over with the toughness and all that. But Purdy's your guy. You know, they've paid him a ton of money. He's done some great things for the organization. But they're playing in New York this week, and we don't know where the foot's at. What do you do with the quarterback here?
Well, I mean, Mac would look a whole lot better if, you know, J.J. catches that ball down the field. You know, I mean, he's going to score a touchdown. You know, it's right in his hands. You know, his stats and everything would look a whole lot better. Maybe it's a closer game. If Watkins catches the ball on the outside, maybe it's a different game, you know. The reason why they lost the game ain't Mac Jones, and the reason why they're 5-3 isn't Mac. And so he's helping them win games. Like, I'll say the same thing that I said last week. Unless Brock Purdy is 100%, because we don't know how much rust there's going to be without him having to play. Like, it might take a while for him to get back into a groove and get his rhythm back and his eyes and timing and all that. So it might take him a little bit. And you don't want to see that pass rush of the Giants that can heat you up. While you're trying to figure out the timing. So unless he's 100%, unless you know, like you see it in practice, the anticipation, the release, the movement, unless you know that for sure, then I would just ride Mac at this point.
Baldy, quick scouting report on the Giants this Sunday, MetLife Stadium. We've obviously mentioned no Scataboo. He's going to be out. Brutal injury there. They've already without Malik Nabers. But this kid, Jackson Dart, man, he plays with some swag.
He's a great kid. Like, he's a great kid, and he's really – he's got everything. Like, I talked to him before the game on Sunday. You know, he's just serious about his craft. He's really smart. He understands what defenses are doing. He knows where to go with the ball. He has an amazing ability to – a lot like Bo Nix. He's got an amazing ability to, like, navigate a pocket that could be dirty because of blitzes or pass rush or whatever and keep his eyes down the field and be a dual threat. Like, he has an amazing, without ever dropping his eyes. Like, it is really something to watch. They got a really good slot receiver, Wandale Robinson. They got a decent back in Tyrone Tracy. He's not Scataboo, but he's pretty good. And the offense line is pretty good. Defensively, they're a mess in the secondary, but they got real playmakers. Abdul Carter and Brian Burns leads the league in sacks. Like, Kayvon's okay. They got screwed on a couple of calls the other day. But they're pretty formidable with their ability to run stunts and get after you with the pass rush.
Hey, Baldy, we appreciate the time as always, man. Good luck this weekend. We'll do it again next week.
You got it, guys. Take care, man.
See you, buddy.
There he goes. That is Brian Baldinger every single Tuesday, 7:30, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Best football show podcast. Nobody does it like Baldy. Now, to the Morning Roast.
It's time for the Injury Report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Yeah, just call them the San Francisco day-to-days, week-to-weeks, month-to-months. Like, it's the entire team, it feels like. And in case you missed it, Sam Okwuanu is day-to-day with an ankle injury. Jordan Elliott is day-to-day with an ankle injury. D. Winters is day-to-day with a knee injury. And Alfred Collins is day-to-day with a shoulder injury. And on top of all that, Mac Jones apparently has a knee contusion and will also be listed as, get this, day-to-day. The Injury Report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's the one, the only, Vonte Hill, coming up next, right here on The Morning Roast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.